Hello, I'm Kiff Kiker, pastor of Booms Creek Baptist Church. We're so excited having you with us today. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And I hope you'll discover that today, that you'll be uplifted and encouraged as we praise the Lord together.
great big Christmas morning. And a great to serve an awesome God this morning. Well, let's stand and sing a great hymn this morning. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus said.
Our Lord's the man.
wish you'd dedicate that to her daughter, her husband, who's here this morning, Florida. And I love that song. It's a good one. All right. If you have your Bibles this morning, you turn to the book of James. Book of James, chapter 5. I want to just look at the last part of verse 16. James chapter 5, and the last statement, verse 16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The preaching today on the subject, how I know God answers prayer. I believe it with all my heart. And I believe that's where we're at right now. As Moose Creek, we need to be much in prayer. We'll never be much for God until we're much in prayer. Because we know that's the most important thing that we can do. That is the greatest, most wonderful thing that we can do. To pray for one another, pray for others. And we look today at the subject of prayer, because I believe that this is the greatest unused resource a lot of times. There's the need to pray for our family, pray for our church, pray for our country. We'll never outgrow our need of prayer. And over in Isaiah, we find that God wondered that there was no intercessor. He's just amazed that we don't pray more and that we pray so poorly. You know, there's not a sin that we commit that could not have been prevented if we prayed. There's not a temptation that we face that we could not overcome through prayer. So I know that God answers prayer. There's a reason why that He doesn't answer everyone's prayers. Of course, that's found in Psalm 66:18, which tells us, David speaking, he said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he'll not hear me. And then the prophet Isaiah says, our sins have separated us from God. How many heard several years ago they sang a song about a sinner's prayer is never answered? Wrong. The sinner's prayer is answered if he prays what Luke 18:13 says, God be merciful to me, the sinner. God be merciful to me. We need to learn to pray. You know, the disciples said, teach us to pray to their Lord. Teach us to pray. They heard Jesus pray. And they thought, oh, if I could just pray like that. They asked Jesus to teach them. We need to learn to pray. And there's something that we can learn from this fifth chapter here. I just noticed if you'd like to look at it, chapter 5 of James, verses 13 and following. It says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Let him pray. And then it says later on, down in verse 14, it says, let them pray. Let them pray. That is, pray together. We need to learn to do that. One of the greatest things that I've seen happen during prayer was at another church. We had what we call prayer parties. Prayer parties, praying together in that church. And it literally revolutionized what was going on. And God moved in a mighty way His wonders to perform. And we had many, many souls came to know Christ. And we claimed that verse in Matthew 18:19, which says, if as many as two would agree on earth as touching any one thing, that it would be granted. And how true that verse is. It's all in the Bible is true. So we need to pray. It says, let him pray. Talking to the individual, verse 13, James chapter 5, let them pray. a prayer for, they're joined together in prayer. And then it says in verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. I believe that, don't you? I believe all of the Word of God. I believe if we pray, and we pray together, and we pray the prayer of faith, that God can move his wonders to perform. He puts his feet upon the sea and rides upon the storm. And then notice it says, verse 16, pray one for another. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth nothing. This word fervent means with energy, prevail, supplication unto God. And so I want us to see seven reasons why that I believe God answers prayer. Seven reasons. Number one, because he's promised to do so.
Amen.
I believe that he's promised over and over again. In the book of Matthew, chapter 7, you know, prayer is asking. Bud's favorite verse, James 4, 2. What's it say? You have not because you ask not. And I believe prayer is asking. Verse 7 of Matthew chapter 7 says, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And I notice in these verses, chapter 7, Matthew verses 7 to 11, five times this verse, these verses says to ask. To ask, we have not, because we ask not. Matthew 21, 22 says, in all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. How many believes it?
Amen.
That is, whatever you ask in prayer, believe. You know, Jesus talked much about prayer. On his way from the upper room to the bloody Garden of Gethsemane, he had a lot to say about prayer. If he needed to pray, how much more we need to pray? Amen?
Amen.
And Jesus, he said in John chapter 15, verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. How about this one? The one. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me. Somebody said that's God's telephone number. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which I know is not. Jeremiah 33:3. Listen to a new one. At least for me, I hadn't read it in a while. Psalms 91, verse 15. Psalms 91, 15 says, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. What a promise. What a blessing. And so, because he's promised. Has he ever broken his promise?
Yeah.
Never, ever. Never will break a promise. All the promises of God are today, man, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to ask. You say, well, I just don't want to bother. Listen, it's no bother to God. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. His power of love is such that thou canst never ask too much. And so expect great things. And in our prayer life, realize that he's promised to answer prayer. And then his very nature binds him to answer prayer. His very nature, the attributes of God, teaches us that he will answer prayer. Listen to Psalm 65, verse 2. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. I love that statement there. O thou that hearest prayer. He's a prayer hearing God.
Amen.
A prayer answering God.
Amen.
As I said, he has many attributes. For example, he's love. You think he's going to withhold anything from them that walk uprightly? Because why? He loves us. That's one of his attributes. That demands that he listens to us when we pray. He's all might. He's all power. Abraham heard God say to him, I am the Almighty God. Genesis 17:1. And then he is wise. His wisdom. His wisdom tells us that He'll answer our prayer. He'll answer our prayer. Jude 1:27, just one chapter. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. That's a shouting verse.
Amen.
That's a special verse, sir. Amen. Our God, who is wise, he will, by His own nature, by who He is, what He has promised, He'll answer our prayer. And then also, He's a giver. He's a giver. It's God's nature to give. That's enough. Not only is He love, not only is He wise, almighty, but He's a giving God. Listen to this. Romans 8:32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?
Amen.
I believe it. I thank God for it. For who He is and what He does. And I'm glad that He's given us many, many promises. And He's, by His own nature, answers prayer. And then because of the example, thirdly, if we think about why I believe that God answers prayer. Number three, because of the example that He gave us. Jesus was such a great example. His life was one of prayer. Many times Jesus would pray, withdraw Himself and pray. Luke 5:16, and He withdrew Himself into the wilderness and He prayed. Luke 6:12, and it came to pass in those days that He went out into a mountain to pray and continued, listen to this, continued all night in prayer. And then it says, Matthew 14:23, and when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain to part to pray, and when the evening was come, He was there alone. Oh, the solitude of our Savior, and how He spent time with the Father. He's a great example of prayer. Then He said in Mark 1:35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And so Jesus withdrew Himself. He was up all night praying. He started very early in the morning to pray. You know, John 17 is really the real Lord's Prayer. John 17. Because there He prayed not only for those right there with Him, His disciples, but He prayed also for all those also that would hear Him and that would believe Him through His word. He prayed for us. Do you believe that? Yes. Jesus Christ prayed for us. He was praying for us when He hung on that cross and when He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus Christ, what a great example He was in prayer. And John 17, aren't you glad He's right now at the right hand of the throne of God?
Amen.
Making intercession for us.
Amen.
The Bible says that He is the high priest of our profession, of what we say. And He takes our prayers. And He is our advocate. He is our mediator. And He takes our pleas. And He carries it up to the Heavenly Father. And He says, Father, they're mine. And He takes those prayers. Aren't you glad that Jesus is our high priest?
Yeah.
He told Simon Peter, He said, Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But I pray to thee that thy faith fail not. How often he must have prayed to the Father for us. He said, Father, he's mine. And Father, hear his prayer. Hear his prayer, O Lord. He takes that to the Heavenly Father. You know what it is it takes to build a great church? Prayer.
Amen.
Prayer will grow a church. And that's what we need. We'll see more about that. Jesus, he must have lived in the atmosphere of prayer. He lived in the atmosphere of prayer. when his public ministry began. Jesus was baptized. He prayed. Luke 3:21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized and prayed, the heaven was opened. He prayed at his beginning of his ministry. He prayed at the transfiguration when he took Peter, James, and John, inner circle, up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Luke 9:29 says, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. Then Jesus prayed at Gethsemane, there in the garden. Luke 22:44, and being in agony, prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Aren't you glad that Jesus was willing to go to that cross?
Amen.
And to die for the sins of all that would believe, that would trust him as the Lord and Savior. Just before he died, he said, Father, forgive them. And you know his prayer was answered on the day of Pentecost, certainly. 3,000 souls were saved in one day. 3,000 souls. How are we going to see souls saved at Boone Street Baptist Church? Pray it down. How are we going to get revival? Pray it down.
Amen.
Don't work it up. It's got to come from God.
Right.
He said that my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and what? Pray. Then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and will heal their land.
Right.
So it's got to begin with us, folks. It's got to begin with the preachers. It's got to begin with the deacons, the Sunday school teachers, the leaders of our church, and every member of this church. It's yet to be seen what could be done. God is able to do exceeding abundantly all that we could ask or think.
Amen.
The Bible tells us that he can do great and mighty things. And then I know by experience that God answers prayer. Don't you know by experience? In your own life, has there been a reality that God heard and answered when you called upon him and when he heard and then the blessings came back? I've had God to answer many prayers in my own life when it seemed like there was no way to look but up, no way east or west, south, but no, looking up to God. And God answered. A man was asked by someone how his church could do so well, how it could grow so good. He said, John 14:13-14, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. He said, that's what's built our church. It's come through prayer. You remember the Brooklyn Tabernacle? That's a church that was built on prayer. Remember that choir and how they sing? But there's a book about the story of that church. The church that was built on prayer. Jim Cimbala is a pastor. Thank God, prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. And so, fifthly, how I know that God answered prayer, because of the great emphasis in the Bible on prayer, over and over and over again. We see Solomon, the king, when the temple was built, that dwelling place of God, when that was done, we find that Solomon, he prayed a prayer of dedication on the day of the dedication. And 2 Chronicles 6:40 says, now my God, that I beseech thee, mine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. So that was not like the tabernacle, which was not a permanent place, but the temple that was built. And why was that place? What was the purpose of that? Matthew 21:13, Jesus said, it's written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. You know what this is? What it should be? Boone's Creek Baptist Church. This edifice, this place we assemble and meet regularly, what should it be? It should be a house of prayer.
Right.
Above and beyond everything else. A house of visitation, a house of ministry, a house of getting together and fellowship, certain all these things. But first and foremost, and primary, above all, it should be a house of prayer.
Amen.
When we make it a house of prayer, when we get down to serious business, God can move in a mighty way His wonders to perform. Solomon. And then also Abraham. Abraham prayed to God. Genesis 20:17 is the first time prayer is mentioned by name in the Bible. It says, so Abraham prayed unto God. And then Moses, we're talking about the great emphasis in the Bible on prayer. Moses, twice he spent 40 days up on the mountain, God in prayer. And he prayed a prayer that I don't think we find any like in all of the Bible. Exodus 32:32. Paul, he prayed and said, I could wish myself a purse from God that I might see people say, my kindred, according to the flesh. But Moses, he literally prayed a prayer like this. He said, oh God, forgive their sins, and if not, blot my name out of the book of life. Now there's compassion. There's love for people. Now, as I said, Paul, he prayed. He said he could wish that his name was a curse. But here, Moses went ahead and said, and if you read Exodus 32:32, we see that there's a line drawn there. He's thinking it good. He's not looking at it lightly. He really means it. He said, if not, then blot my name out of the book of life. Because of the great emphasis in the Bible on prayer, it's why that I believe that God answers prayer. Samuel was the godly man. You know what he said? He said, God forbid that's in 1 Samuel 12:23. He said these words, 1 Samuel 12:23. God forbid that I should sin against God in ceasing to pray. God forbid. And so we find also, as we think about the Bible, that Jeremiah, he was a weeping prophet, he was a man of prayer. He prayed so much for some people there, but God, finally said, just don't pray for them anymore. He said, in that verse, he said, these people are so rebellious, wicked, corrupt. He said, don't pray for them any longer. There was a time that God said, it's enough. And then David is another example, if we think about the emphasis running through the Bible on prayer. David said, Psalms 42:1, as the hart, that's the male deer, as the hart panteth after the water, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if this pastor would just get down to the place where he would be so much wanting to get in touch with God, and he would say, oh God, it's a hard thing to think of the water, so paint my soul after thee, oh God. I'm not a good example like I need to be. And then the book of Psalms is largely a book on prayer and praise, a hymn, our prayer and praise book of the Old Testament. And then if you read Daniel, it's a book of prayer. He went before God and prayed. And so these are reasons why I know that God answers prayer. I've experienced it, I've seen it, and then I know what the Bible says. And then sixthly, because of the behavior of the saints in times of crisis and need. Because of the Bible, the behavior of the saints and how they face crises. If we haven't faced a crisis, we're going to.
Sure.
We will, just as sure as we're here.
Right.
And we're going to need the Lord. Ever needed him, I sure do need him now. And we need the Lord. Because think of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was sick unto death. And God, through Isaiah, said, "You're going to die." And Hezekiah, he set himself to seek the Lord. Verse 2 says, he turned his face toward the wall and prayed. God said, "I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. I will heal you." And he added 15 years to his life. And so I know, because of the way saints acted and reacted in the Bible, I know God answered prayer. And then the Bible tells us about the early church. That infant church baptized with the power of Christ. That church was a praying church. Acts 2:42 says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and of baking and breaking bread and in prayer." In prayer. Acts 3:1. "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer." It was a habit, if you want to call it that. Acts 4:31. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God bold." And so when they met, they prayed, and God moved in a mighty way. You remember when Peter was shut up in prison, and that night he was the only Christian in Jerusalem that fled, because it tells us that the rest of the people prayed, and they prayed Peter's deliverance. Acts 12:5 says, "Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer." Think those two words, but prayer. How many times, you know, our situation, circumstances, we don't pray about it. It says he was kept in prison, but prayer. Have we been shut up in circumstances? Do we have a problem? Do we have a need? We need to pray. It says the prayer was made without ceasing of the church and the king. And so prayer is God's method for us to attain and to achieve, to receive blessings from him. He's not trying to withhold good things from you. Prayer, divine healing. You believe in divine healing, preacher? That's the only healing I know of. Divine healing, if we're healed. It's just God that does it. Thank God for Christian doctrine. God uses them. But God is the one that does the healing. The doctor can cut, he can operate, he can do surgery. But who does the healing? It is God that we serve. You know, prayer is important to get the soul saved. You're going to have people saved. The Bible says in Romans 10:1, Paul speaks, he said, "My heart's desire, prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." And then not only does prayer heal the body and get souls saved, but we say we need work. We need work. You know how to obtain work? Pray for. Matthew 9:37. "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that he will send forth laborers in this harvest." How can we get what we need? It's through prayer. And then prayer is God's way to supply our needs. Did you know that? Does he ever fail us again? No. The Bible says in Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your needs, according his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Jim Henry, that we heard over the Cove just last week, the Grand Training Center at the Cove, he said that his first baby, born wife delivered, and the doctor talked to Jim and said, "I'm sorry to tell you, there's a problem somewhere. We've got talk about that later. And so Jim went into the chaplain's office, nobody in there, but on the wall, he said, somebody had put there, but my God, to supply all your needs according to riches and glory. And I believe it. What is your need? What is my need? God says, whatever it is, our God will abundantly supply. Then, accident, had a fellow kid, lost your joy. You know the answer? Prayer. Psalms 51, 5. David cried out, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. So I believe all these things we spoke about. I believe God answers prayer.
Amen.
Now we're going to give an invitation. We always do. We don't want to close the service. That gives the people an opportunity to just say to give their heart to Jesus, if they're a Christian, they want to dedicate their life. If you need church membership, we invite you to come. If you're saved, baptized, you'll receive. If you haven't had baptism, for believers only, we invite you to come. But most of all, what I spoke about today, why I know that God answers prayer. I want us just to spend time at this altar. How I love it. I saw Ron Owens last night. He just calls all the people to the altar to pray. God is really blessed. So I believe we need to come around this altar just to pray, just ask God for needs that maybe we've got or our church has. Just give it to God. And as we stand, as we sing, you come, let's meet. Y'all.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message, and if you will, you may share this video with a friend or family member. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's the best decision you'll ever make. It's just simple. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. C, confess Him as your Savior. And you can pray a prayer like this: Dear God, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I need you. And you died for me on the cross and promised to save me. If I'd only trust you, I do trust you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Save my soul so I can go to heaven when I die. If you prayed that prayer, you can notify us. We have some materials we'd like to share with you and get you started right in your Christian faith. To learn more about our church, just again, visit us on website, WindsCreekBaptist.org, and don't forget to check back with us next Sunday for the message of the hour. God bless.